Good afternoon, and it is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly muster together, and it is a lovely day on the magical Isle of Vashon. The greetings that I send out all over the world are, as always, from Singapore on one side of the world, all the way around to the other side of the world, to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, and where I will be in the middle of August, and will be broadcasting from someplace in Stockholm. So those greetings go not only to all of Captain Joe's people in those places, but in all of the places in between, all of the ships and aircraft that are about their father's business, and all of the rescue stations in between that are out there rescuing those hapless mariners in need of rescue. The binnacle list today is almost unchanged from last week, in the sense that we've not had any people of whom I'm aware who have been able to leave the binnacle list in either one of the ways in which it happens. But I am adding to it that it is a heat advisory is out for the Pacific Northwest. And although here on the magical Isle of Vashon, and in particular at Captain's Quarters, because I live right on Puget Sound, and I have this wonderful breeze that blows from the sound, it unfurls my flag, which is on my lower level, and it helps to cool the house, and I have these great ceiling fans that circulate everything around. But I realize that many people are not so fortunate, and so there are cooling stations being set up here on the island. You go to Vashon, be prepared to find those. And if you do not live on the magical isle and you live someplace else that's under a heat alert or heat advisory, please, please, please take care of yourself and drink a lot of fluids, and we all know that the fluid to which I refer is water, fresh water. So those are my wishes and my hopes, my desires, and my command from the captain's chair, that everybody take care of yourself because you are charged with taking care of other people. I had a wonderful week, and I'm going to talk briefly about each one of the events that made up that wonderful week. And all of this is in furtherance of the mission of this program. That mission is that each of you, of Captain Joe's people, who give me half an hour of your precious time every week, I want you to come away from this broadcast feeling just a little bit better about yourself and about the world in which we live. Sometimes it is very difficult for me to express that hope and wish, because sometimes in a week we have so many things happen that make it very difficult to be optimistic. But I am indeed the consummate optimist. And so the things that we're going to talk about right now are in furtherance of that mission, because it was a week that was full of family and friends, shipmates, and events that I want to use to further that particular mission. So the first thing was last week, a week ago, I had Captain Bruce Tony on with me, and his remarks and his story struck such a responsive reply from so many of Captain Joe's people who are in the Coast Guard part of my family, that I've been asked to bring him back to talk some more about his experiences on the ice, his experiences as the captain of one of those cutters that maintains nautical marine aids to navigation And so I'm going to do that. And I'm also working up a program in which I get some Coast Guard wives to come on and to talk to me and talk to you about how they deal with the long deployments and how they deal in particular with the bringing up of their children while their husbands, or in some cases their wives, because now we have wives deploying and husbands staying at home and taking care of the children. So I am working to put together a program that would do that. And in the meantime, you have my hand that I will bring back Captain Tony. We had a wonderful time. And after the broadcast was over all too quickly, he and I spent another hour just telling sea stories. And sea stories, for those of you who are not of the persuasion where sea stories are generated, know that sea stories are completely true. They are never embellished. Mary R. used to say that I embellished my stories, and I would say, Mary R., you do not realize that the truth of these stories is much more intense than what I have described. So he and I spent an hour talking about places that we had been, people that we knew, shipmates that we had had. The second thing that happened was that I was able to spend an evening with my Bellevue daughter, Heather, and her husband, Nick. And I introduced them to chicken gizzards. Those of you who come from the American South know that the gizzards and the livers from chickens are highly prized commodities. And in my part of the South, you can go into the delicatessen section of a Safeway and have them put a pound of gizzards into a sack that you take out for a good lunch. Well, neither Heather nor Nick have grown up in the South, and the chain known as Ezel's Fried Chicken has a new store in the West Seattle Thriftway car park, and they have started to sell gizzards. So for those of you who have been lusting in your black hearts for genuine chicken gizzards, go to any one of the Ezel's stores anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, and there you will find them, and your hopes and wishes will be fulfilled. We had a wonderful dinner together. Simonzi was staying with her other grandparents, so she and I did not have a chance to spend any time together. Simonzi and I always end our times together with the ritual recitation of "We never say goodbye until we meet again." The next thing that happened was a dinner with my friends who go back and forth between here and Amsterdam. And there were a number of people there who are connected to the Voice of Vashon. If you listened to Brown briefly this morning, you heard Captain O'Brien and Counselor Craig Bellis talking on the program Brown Briefly, and they were at this dinner. The subject came up of my forthcoming trip to the Scott Poer Research Institute in the University of Cambridge. I had a letter from the director in which he proclaimed that the 100th birthday of Scott Poer Research Institute, which was supposed to be 2 years ago, has now been scheduled. And all of this, of course, was because of the virus. And so in early November, there is a big dinner in Cambridge to celebrate the 100th birthday. The guest of honor is going to be His Serene Highness, the Prince of Monaco. And the reason why His Serene Highness is the guest of honor is that Monaco is one of the headquarters of the World Oceanographic Movement, and has been for a number of years. And so he is coming in his capacity as an oceanographer and to help us celebrate the 100th birthday. So I'm going to that celebration, and because it is going to be a formal affair, I have decided that I would recreate my dinner dress uniform. I do not have anywhere in the many boxes and other storage places. I no longer have a dinner dress uniform. So I'm going to have one made up, and I'm going to take it with me to Cambridge. I'm going to trust it to the luggage handling system of whichever airline I choose to use. And I'm going to wear the dinner dress uniform. Miniature medals, all the insignia, everything that goes with it, including, and this was, of course, of particular interest to the assembled group, including a gold cummerbund. Incidentally, the folds of the gold cummerbund are always pointed down so that if you drop any of the dinner onto the cummerbund, it doesn't fetch up into the folds of the cummerbund. That's a little piece of uniform arcana. So that led to a discussion about how much is this going to cost? And I said, I think that I can bring it all in with I need a new cap. And I need the full uniform with all of the things that go with it. And I said, I think I can bring it in for under $1,000 U.S. This led to a spirited discussion as to that I probably was underestimating it by quite a bit. And that led to a pool being generated, and each person has come up with a number of what they think it's going to cost to have this uniform made up. So I said, all right, before Andy and Cece go back to Amsterdam, I'm going to host a dinner at Captain's Quarters, and I will wear a test run of the uniform, and I will bring with me all of the receipts. All of this is to tell you that this is the kind of enjoyable thing that happens to me in any given week. Wonderful friends who do not let up on the pressure on the captain. The next thing that happened was on Saturday. Date not quite clear in my mind right now. Saturday, yeah. History Seattle. History Seattle is an organization which, as its name implies, as its name comes right out and says, is its mission is to keep alive the history of Seattle. And they had originally planned to do a real tour, and they think they had about 45 or 50 people lined up to take a real tour of the island. And there were several people who are involved with historical sites here on the island. One of them is Mukai Gardens. Kay Longy has done a wonderful, and her organization have done a wonderful job through many, many vicissitudes to bring back the Japanese garden and the Japanese property that was part of the Mukai family establishment here on the island. Dr. Hallman from the talking in particular about one of the heritage trails that we have here on the island. And Elsa, who is the executive director for the Heritage Museum. And then myself, talking about the lighthouse at Point Robinson, and Bruce talking about an exhibit that he's put together, an historically related exhibit that he's put together down at the Vachon Center for the Arts. And all of this was moderated by this lovely young lady who is the executive director for for History Seattle. And we had to do it by Zoom. Now, I really dislike the Zoom format. I dislike it because I believe that I look just awful in it. And it's a little bit difficult to manage who is talking to whom. And Taylor did a wonderful job with all of that. But we did it by Zoom. And again, it was a collection of people who keyed off of each other in just the most wonderful way. And I hope that particular presentation will be the catalyst for Taylor and for the for History Seattle to put together a real tour of Vashon and to actually go to all of those sites. But I came away from that feeling that really good about, first of all, the way that we are managing our historical sites and our historical activities here on the island, but in the much larger sense, an acceptance on the part of everybody involved that a realization that we save, we conserve, and we enjoy the pieces of our history from the past, because those all condition who we are today and who we are going to be in the future. And if we take care of these things, then maybe, just maybe, there will be a ripple effect out from the magical Isle of Vashon to a larger community beyond Puget Sound, which is what our moat is around the island. So I came away from that feeling a real sense of accomplishment and a glow of gratitude for all of the people that were part of that particular program. My final event was I had dinner last night with a young friend who had left the Puget Sound area, had gone to take up a new job in Alaska, and with whom I had for several years lost contact. It is always up to us to maintain contact with people who are important to us in our lives. And I did not do that in this particular case. And then when she came back to the Puget Sound area and she took up a job in the same organization that she had gone to Alaska to work with, that I found out that she was back in the area, and I still had her contact information, and I sent her a signal, and we had never broken the friendship, but what we did do here was to pick up the threads, to pick up the hawser, and so we decided that we would do two things to celebrate this. The first one was that it was her birthday. And secondly, I wanted to check out one of the waterfront restaurants here in the Tacoma area that had almost completely shut down during the virus time. And I wanted to see if it was as good as it had been before. So we went to this restaurant called the Lobster Shop, and found it to be as satisfactory as it had been before. And we had a wonderful evening together. So all of these things are to emphasize, as I have done many times before and will continue to do over and over again, because this is so important to me and I want it to be important to you. The values of friends of family rank, of family, of children, of grandchildren, the importance of the people that I'm privileged to call shipmate, people that either I went to sea with or if I did not go to sea with them, it's still people who have the qualities of a shipmate. In my life, a shipmate being one who puts his mates and his ship before himself. And that if we continue to enjoy all of those things, then the happiness of in our lives is always enhanced. And it's enhanced not only because we are being satisfied in the needs in our own hearts, but we are also helping to fill the hearts and minds of the people that we love. And that will, I am confident, I believe this to the very core of my black captain's soul and heart, that this will ripple out from our little place here in the Gene Bosch studio, will ripple out to other places in the world. And that just a little bit of a move in that direction is so much better than not trying, not moving at all. And that, dear ones, is what your Captain Joe has to say about all of that from the captain's chair. Reach out to somebody that you know that may need just a little bit of encouragement, may need just a little bit of help in some way, maybe just needs a little bit of your interest and your acceptance of them for who they are and not maybe who you would like them to be. A couple of interesting things have happened recently, but not just in the last week. And the first one is, I've talked a lot on this program about the Coast Guard Cutter Ingham. Coast Guard Cutter Ingham is the ship that I was both XO and captain in. I was her XO in Vietnam. And she remains afloat today in Key West, Florida as a museum ship. And she is supposed to be, and I've not counted up the number of ribbons and medals that she carries. You know, the ships have, military ships, Navy and Coast Guard ships, have all of the medals and awards that they would be entitled to wear if they were a human being. And so my Ingham, for example, has two presidential unit citations from the Vietnam War. And so when we decommissioned her, when she was decommissioned and she first went to Patriots Point in South Carolina, and then through a great deal of interest and hard work, she was moved from there to Key West. And I have been to her a couple of times down in Key West. I was there most recently, just at the end of last year. And I broadcast from there, from the captain's chair, as a matter of fact, in Ingham. And all of this is to tell you that the next Ingham is now under construction. She's under construction in a shipyard called Eastern Shipbuilding in Panama City, Florida. And I have seen the artist's conception of her. She is going to be somewhat larger. She's going to be somewhat heavier in terms of displacement. I hope that she's going to be as capable, because my Ingham was indeed the most capable and the most beautiful of all ships. However, I have to say that the artist's conception of the next Ingham is looks to me to be a very workmanlike ship. And if for no other reason, she has open bridge wings. And she doesn't have tumble home, which means that her captain or her conning officer can get out on that starboard bridge wing and look over the side and know exactly where the side of the ship is in relation to the dock that he is getting her up alongside. May no tug ever touch her except under cold iron, and no tug ever touched any ship under my command except when the ship was in cold iron. Cold iron means that her engineering plant is dead cold, and she cannot maneuver for herself. So she's being built in Eastern. I happen to have a piece of steel from my Ingham, and I'm working to organize a trip which would include a stop in Panama City, Florida, to visit the next Ingham under construction, and to contribute that piece of steel so that it will be incorporated into the next Ingham. And I will, of course, be giving reports on all of that. When I was on my trip to, my last trip was to California to be a part of the change of command ceremony for the Coast Guard cutter Polar Star. And you all will remember that the reason that she's in California and that she's not here is that the shipyard at in Vallejo, what is the old Mare Island Naval Shipyard and now is a commercial yard, was the low bidder on her contract for getting her ready to go south again. So she's up on the blocks, up in the dry dock, and she will be coming back to Seattle. And during the Glacier reunion, which is in September, we're going to have a tour of Polar Star. And that will be part of the reunion events. So those of you who are able to come to Seattle for the Glacier reunion, it's from the 16th to the 18th of September in Seattle. I will be at that reunion, and I will be moving Captain's quarters out to the reunion hotel. And you can get information on this by going on to the Coast Guard channel. So anyway, when I was on that trip, I went to a bookstore in in SFO. And I picked up a couple of books to keep me intellectually occupied while I was waiting for my flight. And one of the books that I picked up was called Bad Days in History. Now, lest any one of Captain Joe's people who is listening to me today feel that the captain is being a little bit too closely aligned to Pollyanna, let me assure you that I am fully aware of all of the unhappy and unpleasant things that are going on in the world around us. And in that spirit, I picked up this book called Bad Days in History. And every day of the year has an entry for something not so good that happened on that particular day. So I looked at the one for today, which is 26 July. And for 26 July, 1945, the headline for the entry is, "It's the economy, stupid, even if you're Churchill." And it goes on to point out that Winston Churchill in 1945, after the war was over, and after the national government was going to be disestablished and the political parties were going to rise again, the Labor Party put on a huge push to remind the Brits that the war was over, and that good times were coming, and those good times were best managed by the Labor Party. And in fact, that's exactly what happened. And Churchill, the Conservative Party, of which Churchill was a member, he had crossed the aisle several times in his political life. But he was the head of the Conservative Party, Prime Minister, and the Conservative Party was voted out, and voted out resoundingly. And so this article is all about that, but it ends with a quote. It says that if Churchill had recognized the cold political reality, he would not have taken the people's decision so personally. But he was human after all, and felt keenly the pain of Britain's apparent ingratitude. When his wife, Clementine, suggested consolingly that the defeat may have been a blessing in disguise, the Prime Minister gruffly replied, "At the moment, it seems quite effectively disguised." Which reminds me of that wonderful quote from Queen Victoria when something happened about which she was not happy. She said, "We are not amused." And now I'm far too quickly to the end of our time together. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. It is my wish, my hope, and my command that each of you be taking care of those that are entrusted to your care. Watch their six And at the same time, you take care of yourself, because only you have that responsibility and that authority. So we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly.